Hello, good morning. This is Valerio from CITR Radio 101.9 UBC Vancouver. Here with me today is Catherine from North Carolina. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm wonderful to be here. Thank you very much for this
Thank you
opportunity.
to accept this invitation. Catherine, I know you are very involved with forest and education.
Exactly, actually. I have created with my good French friend and business partner, Fanny, a educational awareness project called #LoveMackie. That's Love, Maqui. Basically, it's an educational outreach program to teach the youth of the USA and Canada about the rainforest and its scientific importance. We created this project because after living a year in Ecuador and seeing firsthand the significant importance, we decided to do something about it and let people know in other countries. So, from our experience there, we took a lot of footage and a lot of documentation and then created this project and have been able to raise funds and travel across the USA and all the way to the north of the coast and into now Vancouver, giving presentations to children and adults on the rainforest.
Right. So, Catherine, I know there is a hashtag. It's called hashtag Love Maqui.
Mackie.
Maqui.
Mackie actually stands for the reserve that we were working in. It's called Mackie Bakuna. It's a 16,000-acre private reserve in the cloud forest of Ecuador, which is about 2 hours northwest of Quito. This area is owned by the founders Rodrigo and Rebecca, whom used their savings to purchase pieces of property in Ecuador, which were in threat of being taken. It's their home country, and they wanted to conserve the beauty of it. So they slowly purchased pieces of it and worked together with different communities to be able to conserve and protect the land. And instead of doing harvesting, cultivating, or mining for the land, they've been able to do ecotourism to bring tourists there and to learn about the area.
Wow, ecotourism is very important. So, can you please just explain to our dear listeners better the geographic position, like where?
Okay, exactly. So Mackie Bakuna and the surrounding reserves are situated in the Choco Andy Corridor, which is a stretch of corridor about 40,000 acres, which is northwest of Quito in the cloud forest. So it's basically on the Andes, close to Colombia, and right near the equator. So with the Andes, the equator, and being quite close to the Amazon rainforest, it makes it an extremely biodiverse area of the world. Actually, one of the top five biodiverse areas of the world. So people come from all over to actually research and study this land. And I was fortunate enough to live there for over a year, learning its scientific importance and running the 16,000-acre reserve, Eco Lodge, and hosting a lot of different people from all over the world. My job was to kind of run the business, and therefore, learning from that, I learned about its scientific importance, which I had not previously known because I did not study biology. And it's been an extremely eye-opening experience to see how significant and beautiful the rainforest and the importance of it is.
Right. This is in Ecuador, right?
Exactly.
How is long far from Quito?
It's about 2 hours.
2 hours. Not too far.
No, not at all. You can fly into Quito.
How long time did you live there?
I lived for about 14 months there. And I lived quite isolated. I learned how to adapt to the culture and to speak the language of Spanish. I previously did not speak Spanish.
I see. So you when you arrived in Ecuador, you didn't know nothing about Spanish, right?
I knew very little.
Yeah, that's like very close to my experience in Russia when I went to Russia between 2008 and 2009. I had a social project with the Italian government for youth people in near St. Petersburg with the street guys and kids with social family problem. I had to do tutoring work for them.
Oh, how interesting.
And I remember when I arrived there, I didn't know any words except da, like yes. I didn't know nothing else in Russian language. And they, in spite of they study English and French, they don't want to speak neither, both. And so the only alternative that had was to learn a few weeks Russian, which is very difficult.
I can imagine.
So now I can imagine you in Ecuador when you arrived the first time that you didn't understand, right?
Yep, and I was in charge of kind of managing the operations. So I was in charge of about 14 different local Ecuadorians, and I had to slowly learn and practice every single day Spanish and how to communicate on the tasks that were necessary that day.
So, Caterina, in total, how long time you've been in Ecuador in total?
14 months. 14.
And you've been there as visitor, like tourist, or to work with kids?
I was there as a volunteer, and I was there to use my double international business and management degrees. I went there to practice business and learn the language, and I had the opportunity to do that because I graduated with 2 degrees in international business, one from North Carolina in Cullowhee, which is Western Carolina University. And I did my last year studying abroad in the Netherlands. Did a really intense Dutch double degree program and took international classes. And I also did a research thesis, which it's being published, and it's for adopting renewable energy in hospitals. So after the year of studying international business and traveling all over Europe, I had studied with 300 international students from all over the world. I was the only Native American and Native English speaker. So I had helped a lot of people with English, but became aware of how significant it was to speak double languages. Wow. So from there, in graduating, I was a first student at Western Carolina to successfully complete this double degree program, which had been going for 6 years, and got my double degrees, and then previously went back to the school to promote this degree exchange program. And now I have gotten about 7 or 8 students to go to Avance and to study this program. And so it's kind of been reflourished since. But after I had graduated and traveled, I went back to the States to basically have an opportunity to go somewhere to learn Spanish.
That's awesome. So it's which part of Netherlands?
It was called Breda. It was in the south.
It's more Amsterdam or more Eindhoven?
It's below Eindhoven.
Below Eindhoven, okay. Wow, that's amazing. How long time in total you've been in the Netherlands?
I was there for a year.
So you speak Dutch?
In Bitchen.
Cool. I don't speak Dutch, so I can't answer.
Most Dutch speak English, so you'd be fine.
Okay, that's cool. So how many languages you speak?
Just Spanish and English.
And Dutch.
A little Dutch, very Dutch. Little.
Yeah, it's something. And even Italian, you know some words, right?
Yeah, I'm very interested in languages and other cultures, and I really thrive in working in international groups. I did a lot of international studies, as well as working with teams from all over, from Hungary to China to South America. So I really learned that I can flourish really well in an international
setting. Which Italian words you know?
Molto bene. Grazie. Bella. Brava.
Questo è anche lo spazio di Linda. Give him the boots. che va in onda tutti i martedì dalle 2 alle 3 per la comunità italiana della UBC, Vancouver e di tutta l'area di Vancouver, ma anche del Canada, perché ricordo che questa è una radio non solo universitaria, ma che si può ascoltare via web, www.citr.ca, e in qualsiasi momento si può ascoltare anche in podcast, sempre dal web. This is CITR Radio 101.9, this time usually from 2 to 3, every Tuesday. Here is Linda for Give 'Em the Booth, the Italian program for the Italian community at UBC Vancouver. And Linda, for a few months, she's away. Probably she's in Italy. I want to say hello to Linda. Ciao, Linda. Ci manchi tantissimo. We miss you a lot. And I want to say thank you to Linda to give me this space every Tuesday because for me it's a good opportunity to talk about environment. And like today, forest. This is not the first time that I talk about Ecuador, actually, because a few months ago I was here. Kay was an intern here in CITR, and she lived in Ecuador for a few months. And she brought here even some, not just the experience that she did, like you telling us, but even some music from Ecuador. Did you bring some music?
I didn't bring Ecuadorian music.
Doesn't matter.
I brought some music that I thought would fit with the theme of the rainforest.
Wow. Maybe we can start to listen the first track.
Okay, that sounds great.
What's his name?
I was going to do In the Jungle.
Okay. Let's maybe we can find out because we didn't prepare nothing actually. And can you repeat, Catherine, the name?
In the Jungle, the song that
You know the singer? Nice song. This is In the Jungle, the Mighty Jungle, here at CITR Radio 101.9 FM from CITR UBC Vancouver. And here today with us, Catherine, that she's talking about her background in international business, and then from there she now works for forest and education, and I found this very interesting, like the business, in this case international business, can like be connected with everything, even with environment, with forest. How did you find this connection, like, you know, when people study business or international business, usually it's because they go to work in business company or, you know, but in this case, you know, you are not in just in the office, you work for a forest.
Exactly. I wanted to take the business route because it was quite adaptable to any situation. And at the time, I wasn't sure really what my direction was. I knew I wanted to do business because I believe that there wasn't enough good ethics. And I believe that with people who have good heart should go into the businesses to make a good impression on it, to not be underestimated because they don't know business by those big corporations. I know business. I have 2 degrees from 2 different countries, and I can use that in a very productive and ethical way. And I knew when I graduated that I wanted to do something quite impactful, quite significant. And I had graduated and came back to the USA in a bit of a culture shock. I had really loved the international scene. I had really loved thriving in different cultures. And so I decided to go to New York City to see the prospects that were available there. And after a few days in the city, I realized that I was much more a person that was happier immersed into the environment. However, I did meet with somebody that was working at the UN, and I had interviewed them to actually see how their path led them to work at the UN, which I thought would be a wonderful career goal. They told me to volunteer for as long as I could and to work for an NGO. And ironically, at that time, I had found a very cheap ticket to Ecuador. And I chose Ecuador because of the costs. I didn't have much money, but I wanted to use what I did have that I had saved from working in restaurants and just been able to use financially correctly throughout my life. To basically go to South America and just immerse myself and learn Spanish that way instead of taking any courses. So I talked to this person and they suggested I Google NGOs in Ecuador. So I went home and did just that. And I researched many different NGOs, and the one that stood out to me was the Maki Bakuna, Foundation Maki Bakuna, which is the 16,000 acre reserve. And I really admired the work that they had done. And they actually needed help in business. So I had been in contact with the woman, and the day before I was supposed to leave to Ecuador, she confirmed that I was allowed to volunteer there. So I was definitely kind of allowing things to evolve as they happened. And I went down there and realized that it was a very, very special place, but in some sort of kind of unorganized manner. There's so many different logistics with politics and business, and it's very interesting to learn about that, especially in another country, and to be able to use your business skills to help create this to become a more sustainable and efficient business. So I worked there for quite a while, growing very close to the culture and to the locals that I pretty much became family with. And I had recruited from my study abroad program at Avance my friend Fanny Harder, who came down to Ecuador my last 3 months there. And together, we shared our both passion for the environment and for making a difference. So that's when we started to take her GoPro and hike all the different trails that they had. We started to interview all the locals. We started to collect data and scientific research. And we also got donations such as Panela, which is the local brown sugar, and some of the shade-grown coffee. And we used all this to create the Love Mackie Project. If you want to look it up, it's hashtag Love Mackie, LoveMaqui. This project has taken place in the beginning in the USA. We did a GoFundMe and raised some funds so we could print materials, stickers, supplies, as well as a Prius rent-a-car. We raised over about $3,000 and was able to cover all the expenses through good negotiation skills, excuse me, and was able to basically have this project evolve extremely significantly. And so we started in Florida. 1 month after I returned from Ecuador, Fanny had met me in Florida, where my family lives. My father, Bill Richards, is one of the most amazing supporters throughout this project. Thank you, Dad. And we gave some presentations beginning in Florida and then continued to Charleston, where we met the conservation group Coastal Conservation League. And we got some advice from them on how to create conservation groups. From this, we evolved our target market instead of so much aiming towards adults, which kind of had their views and insights into the rainforest. We decided to talk to children. We thought that children would be so much more impactful. They would be able to have much more passion and beliefs towards the rainforest. And they are the future. So we really thought that they were the most important and significant target to go towards.
That's amazing, because I think the first step that we have to do for our heart, for our land, and for this world is to mind about the future and the future generations. And the first step is to educate. Our responsibility is to educate kids, children, since when they are very, very young, like 5 years old. And then, you know, we can hope in a better world than now, because now it's crazy. Like, it's enough to think about the climate change. This year is the warmest September of ever in the world. Never happened a September so warm in the world, that for climate change, for global warming. So just this information can give the idea how is the environment and our world is so suffering for pollution and crazy industry business everywhere. But anyways, what I want to say is, in my opinion, children and young people are very sensitive, much more than adults. So I think what you're doing is amazing, because I think they can understand much, much more than us. And I remember when I was very young, I'm very passionate for environment. I volunteer with different organizations for a long time, like Greenpeace, but it's not enough. But anyways, that's just to say that how this passion born inside me was when I was in an elementary school and had a teacher that she was very, very, very attention. She paid a lot of attention for environment. I remember 1989, something like that, 1990, she came in a classroom with a newspaper. She showed us, I was like 9 years old. She showed us a picture of a bird. It was a cormorant, full of oil. So that cormorant didn't have life, because it was completely toxic, and because there were that picture was from Kuwait, because that time was the first war for Gulf, Persian Gulf, in between Iraq and Iraq and Kuwait. This crazy war, for crazy business of oil and other interests, hundreds animals and plants died for oil spills and much other bad things. And from that moment, my life changed because the teacher, she gave us this information. She made us work on this problem. And I remember my interest and my attention for environment grew with years. Yeah, pardon me?
I have a similar story as well.
Really? Please.
When I was a child in Catholic school, actually, I had a nun that had just returned from the Amazon rainforest, and she brought stories and pictures and taught it to all of us. And I remember just being so inspired by that and the significance that was kind of living down in another country and a force that was just so deep and so exotic. And it kind of stuck with me, that passion, and it grew. And when I always felt outside, I felt so much more at peace. And when I had the opportunity to go to Ecuador and work in a rainforest, it just seemed like the most natural thing to do. And a lot of people thought it was a bit crazy because you live quite isolated in the middle of nowhere in the rainforest, and you're pretty much by yourself. And this solitude was just fine for me because I knew that this was something that I had always wanted to do. And I knew that when I had heard about the rainforest, that it was something that I really did care about and really necessarily needed help. And that's why I feel the direction of using an international business degree is the best kind of use for that, because there is not many people who are staying strong and fighting for the environment as it needs to be. It's much stronger than us. It's just very passionate and compassionate, I guess you could say.
Yes.
So,
we'll be right back.
Moving Cruise. This song is very old, but I like very much. It reminds me oceans and adventure. I don't know why, but it's very, very nice. It's this song, I listened to this song the first time from an Italian movie, Chi trova un amico trova un tesoro. Who find a friend, find a treasure. It's an Italian movie, and it's a story of two men that by a boat they have to arrive in a desert island where is habited from wildlife and few native people. But it's a very funny story because the travel will be very trouble, and then when they arrive on the island, they have to find out for a treasure. And the other friend, he doesn't believe in that, and the other wants to do that. So it's like a fight between each other, and then they find the treasure, but for some reason they can't have this treasure because they think that it's like $50 million they find underground, but they think that are fake money, but that's not true. We're real money, and the government take it. Yeah, that's so funny story. And this song remind me that film. I don't know why it's very, for me it's very nice song. Anyways, this is CITR Radio 101.9 FM from UBC, Vancouver, and here with me today is Catherine, here at Wild Knot program, replacing Give Them the Boots, Linda's program. And Caterina, let's back on your travel. I know you are from North Carolina, like you said, and you're in traveling now in Canada, around Canada. I know you're going to Victoria today, and you have others part to go. So what about your traveling now?
So I started this Love Mackie project about a year ago, collecting information and basically evolving the project, but it's been implemented since July. So my business partner and friend Fanny Harder and I left Florida in July and continued to do presentations in Charleston, where my grandmother Kitsy Westmoreland lives. There we met different conservation groups and followed through with these advice from the conservation groups and went to North Carolina. Asheville, North Carolina, where I was born. And we gave different presentations to children during the summer programs there. We gave about 3 in total, from ages 2 to 3, from all the way to 7 to 8. So it was quite a dramatic change for education. But Fanny and I created a very interesting interactive presentation with these children, where we use different senses and smells and touches to basically have them become a part of the rainforest and help us discover a mystery of what had gone wrong. So we had clues, and we used the GoPro video to have them hike into the rainforest, and we would take them all over. And basically, the presentation was centered around the spectacle bear. I haven't yet mentioned him, but the spectacle bear is one of the only living bears in South America and one of the most endangered in the world. It actually is the second largest bear in the world, the first largest being the polar bear. So the spectacle bear is usually a migrating bear from the south of Colombia to the north of Chile, the Choco Andy corridor. And the significance of the area Mackie Bacuna is that it is the heart of the corridor and a very important area for this migration of these spectacle bears. So since not many people in the USA, in North America in general, even know about the spectacle bear, we centered our presentation around it. And we concluded to the children about the spectacle bear being endangered because of the threats of the humans, cutting the forest down, hunting the bears, basically destroying their natural habitat and destroying the rainforest that we all live in.
That's a big problem, not just there. Even here, there is a big problem with the Great Bear Rainforest. I saw just yesterday some video from First Nation people, how hunters, it's like a fight between who wants to protect biodiversity and bears in this case, and hunters. Crazy, like, I don't know why they want to kill the bears that are so cute animals and, you know, and so important for the ecosystem, like all animals, right? But yeah, I know what you mean. It's a big problem. It's a big problem, and I don't know if can be a resolution to stop that. But we have to believe in that, and we have to fight this bad destruction.
Exactly.
And during your you were talking before this song, you were talking about your global studies, and I was hearing that you mentioned renewable energy. What's about? Can you explain better, like how you are involved with renewable energy?
So I was able to do a research thesis, and my topic was adopting renewable energy in hospitals. I interviewed 10 different energy specialists in hospitals throughout the Netherlands and basically created a quantitative analysis of research, creating the motivating factors that would allow these hospitals to adopt renewable energy. It was a very significant research because it had yet to be done in this area of the Netherlands, and in general not really had been touched on in research in general anyway. So I evolved it and actually got a very, of course, the conclusion was finances, but I did spark a lot of interest in these energy specialists about having renewable energy as their main source. Hospitals use energy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're one of the biggest consumers of it, and they need a very reliable source. So this kind of concluded that, you know, if they use so much energy, but yet their job is to protect the communities, they need to make sure that they're doing it in a sustainable and healthy manner. So renewable energy would really be a good answer to this. Of course, because of finances, not many were able to adopt it or even think about it, but it was definitely an interest that they were very happy to kind of see.
So when you say renewable energy, you know, there are different kind of renewable energies. Which kind you are, like, focused on? Solar?
Well, in the Netherlands, it would probably be wind.
Wind.
Because they have such a large coast and they don't have much sun.
Yes.
But it definitely inspired an interest in the renewable energy field for me. My thesis is getting published, and I received a 9 out of 10 in the Netherlands, which is a very significant grade there. And I kind of sparked an interest in doing renewable energy with conservation. And this is a wonderful thing to have led me into the rainforest, where I could see energy itself being taken place.
Have you ever heard about geothermal energy?
I have.
That's my favorite renewable energy. It's incredible. But anyways, it's a very big topic. How did you have... where did you have a listen about that? In the U.S.?
More in the Netherlands. In the U.S., I've been doing a lot of research. And actually, through this travel, I've been doing a lot of networking and just seeing what the future holds for us. The sustainable renewable energy fields and even conservation in general. I have been doing a lot of networking throughout the country and then north throughout the Pacific Northwest.
Wow.
And learned a lot of advice on basically what the future is evolving from and what the millennial generation will bring with the ideas of theirs for the future. And so with my passion and with even Love Mackie, I hope to be a part of this and to hope to kind of evolve it in a very productive way.
Yes. Let's listen to the next music here at CITR Radio 101.9 UBC Vancouver. This is Beatles with Here Comes the Sun. Katerina brings this song for us. Let's listen it.
Comes the sun, do, do, do. comes the sun, I say it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun.
All right, the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun, here on CITR 101.9 Vancouver. Here Catherine today with us. So Catherine, how's it going?
It's going great. I've really enjoyed Vancouver and have really liked the people in Canada. They're extremely nice people.
Right. So now... in few words, just tell us about the conservation program.
So actually, I just wanted to kind of touch on even the Project Love Mackie a little bit more, because it's been targeted to children. And with it, we've done a lot of research on the presentations we've been giving. We've gone into different schools and summer camps all throughout the south of USA to California, even to San Francisco, and then Fanny is back in France, and I've been by myself continuing the project all the way up the coast of the Pacific Ocean, all the way to now Vancouver. I've given several different presentations in Seattle and even here in Vancouver, making this interactive presentation with the children. It has been a very interesting process because I've learned a lot about education, which was something I was never really focused on before, except for my own studies, as well as learning what children are taught now in the system. And really, to my surprise, many of them didn't know anything about the rainforest. They didn't know where it was located. They didn't know what was there. And not only that, they didn't even understand where they were on the map and where the Amazon would be on the map. So it was quite, inspirational that we were teaching these children for the first time something that they had never known. And from there, we've done a lot of, research on what we've taught them and what they've learned, and want to take these studies and create a lesson plan that we can adapt to the school systems. Because, you know, the rainforest isn't something that's taught, but is extremely important, we want to create maybe a rainforest day or week in the school systems and use Love Mackie as the project as the outreach program.
It's elementary school?
Elementary to even younger than that.
Like preschool?
Yep, exactly.
Wow.
And even some universities to inspire, you know, using my story, studying abroad, learning international relations, and then using that knowledge to go to a different country and use the international business I've learned and the language skills that I've adapted and create a project on my own from scratch with the help of another business partner.
Did you have any, like, to work with them, any training for, like, to talk in public, like, you know, for a green leader?
You know, I haven't had training. I just kind of have picked up on everything independently.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoy reaching out to people and speaking about it. I'm a very passionate person, full of positive energy that I like to just share with people. So this project has been a really good experience for me because I've been able to spread that knowledge and passion to everybody that I have met. And I've met some absolutely amazing people throughout this journey.
Right. So that's regarding educational program, right? So now, Catherine, what about the presentation in U.S. and here in Canada?
It's about an hour-long presentation, and we brought all the supplies with us, even coffee from Ecuador, sugar, feathers, different materials and things that children can see and smell and touch. The presentation is created by Fanny and I, and it kind of starts off that we are detectives trying to figure out something that's wrong with the rainforest. And so we ask the children to help us, and we get them to, you know, vow that they'll be rainforest investigators and that they will help figure out the mystery. And then we use the GoPro video to hike into the rainforest. You can see some of these videos actually on YouTube if you just put in hashtag Love Mackie. We also, from the experience of hiking into the rainforest.
You know what? Let's listen it.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah.
my name is Fanny and I've been working in Maki Pucuna for 6 months.
Spread the love, Maki.
My name is Carlos Cañizari.
I work for Maki Pucuna 20 years.
Spread that love, Maki.
Me llamo Etelvina.
Trabajo en Maki Pucuna 26 años.
Spread the love, Maki.
Mi nombre es Carlos.
I work at Maki Pucuna for 30 years.
Spread the love, Maki.
My name is Luis.
And I work at Maki Pucuna for 24 years.
Spread the love, Maki.
Mi nombre es David.
Trabajo para 14 años aquí en Maki Pucuna. Me gusta mucho Maki Pucuna.
Spread the love, Maki.
My name is Jorge.
Trabajo en Maki Pucuna 2 años.
Love, Maki.
Mi nombre es Catherine. Estoy trabajando aquí para 1 año. Spread the love, Maki.
Spread the love, Maki.
So, hashtag...
Love, Maki. LoveMaqui. And if you just put that into Google, you can find the YouTube videos, our social media, Facebook, Twitter, everything we've done to evolve this project, even our website, which is lovemaki.jimdo.com. This video was created in Ecuador. I took shots of everybody who worked at Maki Pucuna, all the locals, and basically had them speak a little bit of English, which many of them didn't like, and was telling them about this project and how I was trying to do some significant importance to outreach people in North America and let them know about the significance of this area. So I had my friend Rick Perkins. Rick is from the Netherlands, and he is a wonderful filmmaker, and he helped me create this using the footage, a little video. And we have several other ones that we've created, and they've all been about the significance of the rainforest, specifically the Chilco Andy Corridor and this reserve, Maki Pucuna.
Right. Awesome. So just remind us your full name.
My full name is Catherine Lillian Westmoreland Richards.
Wow, very long name.
Yeah, I have both my parents' names now, and I'm very proud. I have a very honored family, and my grandfather was General William Westmoreland, so he was the commander of the Vietnam War and did a really big job in the USA, and I always say that I have his blood thriving in my veins and in my heart, and I have that strong passion to lead as well. But not a war. I would want to lead conservation and make a movement and an inspiration with this.
Wow. So what about your, in brief, because we have a few minutes for the last song, I want to launch the Italian song because this is usually the CITR Radio Italian program, Give Them the Boots with Linda, who is for a while, she is... away, so for today at last minutes I want to launch Luna Rossa, Renzo Arbore and l'Orchestra Italiana. Ma before Catherine to say goodbye, I want to ask you the last question. What's about your future? What are you holding for the future? What are you planning to once you finish this travel?
I'm actually in the middle of deciding that quest right now, and I'm deciding on different angles to take my dedication and passion. I know that I want to continue to help future generations live better through education, so I think that Love Maki will be a project that I will continue, always being able to reach out to the education systems and do a 1 hour interactive presentation to whoever is willing to receive it. But with that, I want to make a more significant impact, and therefore want to go into the industry of either renewable energy or politics. And I believe that with one or the other, especially politics, perhaps I could make a larger influence on not only conservation, but on the extreme importance of our planet and how if we don't begin to respect it, we are going to lose it. This is kind of aware, but the gap between awareness and action is extreme. And I want to be able to be a part of helping that gap become tighter, become more significant. So I would like to do a leadership role and present my ideas and use my strength and qualities to be able to make a difference in our world.
Have you ever think about a renewable project as work, like to work for a renewable energy?
I was looking at firms now and even conservation. There's different conservation groups that I really admire what they're doing and would really like to be a part of that. But I believe that the structure is a little bit too difficult for them to make the impact that they want. And therefore, perhaps I could understand the system and instead of fight it, work with it and let it evolve in the ethical, responsibly, environmental responsible way. I think that we can all work together to really do a significant
Which
job.
Which part of North Carolina you come from?
Asheville.
Asheville.
And my family is
in
Sanford,
a big city,
Florida.
Asheville, eh?
Asheville's a relatively big city in North Carolina standards.
And you said your family is from Florida.
Sanford, Florida. I was raised there and
Where?
Have a large group of friends in Sanford, which is an hour north of Orlando.
Oh, wow, Orlando. I know Orlando because it's famous for Orlando Magic basket NBA team and even Disney World is there.
Exactly.
Orlando? Yeah. It's beautiful. I know some relatives of my mom. They live in Florida. They work in Florida. Anyways, so in North Carolina, I'm not very familiar with U.S. Mm-hmm. Map. North Carolina is northern east.
It's north. So you have Florida and then Georgia and then you have the Carolinas. So you have South Carolina and North Carolina.
Yeah.
And in Asheville, there's the mountain range, the Appalachian Mountains. And it's one of the oldest mountain ranges in the world. And
is there Yeah.
Has a significant impact with culture and heritage.
Yeah. Is there a renewable energy there?
It is, but it's not as evolving as anywhere else, really, except for Europe so much. But it's because of finances. So I think that if we begin to see everything in a different way, we can start to work towards adapting to renewable energy
awesome.
And conservation.
So now I hope you can come back to find here out about every news for the future and to have here again to talk about this educational program, which is very, very important. And good luck for your ongoing on next travels. Prego. And ciao.
Thank you very much. And if you guys want to check out Love Mackie, please just put it into Google again.
Oh,
hashtag
yes.
Love Mackie. Love, M-A-Q-U-I.
Yeah, and the website www.lovemackie.jimdo.
JIMDO.com. Thank you very much. Ciao, ciao.
are listening to Tim.
It's the Islamophobia edition of Radio Freethinker. This week, host emeritus Ethan Cloud joins us as we discuss, is Islam the worst religion in the world, in history? What the heck is wrong with Bill Maher and Sam Harris? The problem of Islamophobia in the liberal community. Let's begin episode 270.
It's time for Radio Freethinker, the show that applies skepticism and critical thinking to everyday issues. The place where reason and reality cross sword, politics, religion, economics, and of course, science. Now let's get ready to be skeptical.
The cosmos is also within us. We're made of star stuff. We are away. The cosmos can know itself.
Across the sea of space, the stars are of their sun. We have traveled this way before, and there is much to be learned.
Hello and welcome. Today we are joined by host emeritus, Ethan Clow. Say hello, Ethan.
So, stopping by, of course, my current show, The Sector Podcast, is going strong. By now, episode 24 will be up, so check that out online, sectorpodcast.wordpress.com. And we've got some great content coming up in the next few weeks. We're looking to have with us a representative of Volunteer Canada, as well as an interview with the organization Women Moving Millions, which is all about the increasing financial philanthropic power of women.